Jump
Hold
right
on.
into Marissa, if that's okay with you, Marissa.
Yep, all good.
Go
Okay.
for it.
Let me screen share really quick and then slideshow. Can everyone see screen? Okay, perfect. Hi, everyone. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for being here today. For those of you whom I don't know already, my name is Marissa Carraz, and I work as a freelance organization development consultant. And before getting into it, just wanted to give a really big thank you to the ODF Community Engagement and Learning Team, specifically Jardina and Tanya. Thank you so much for all of your help with the logistics behind putting together this presentation. It was a lot. And so, this topic, which is really the intersection of economics and finance with organization design, has been something on my mind for a while now. And I wanted to take a moment to really just open the door towards the conversation. And I do want to give a quick disclaimer that I'm not an expert in org design or economics. However, I would really, really love to leverage all of the expertise and interest that's in the room today. And for this to be less of a rigid how-to instructional guide and more of just an explorative, collaborative conversation. And so, with that in mind, throughout the presentation, I've included several chat box audience participation questions. So, anytime you see one of those, please feel free to raise your hand or just drop whatever you're thinking in the Zoom chat and we'll discuss it. I have prepared slides today, though, and a framework of my thoughts. But again, really, this PowerPoint is just something to throw stuff at. And so would love to hear any of your challenges or areas of improvement towards anything that I share here today. And so, starting off with purpose. The three main objectives that guided my thoughts through the creation of this presentation were, one, to be able to see the ROI of the operating model and make financially optimal operating model choices. Two, to build more sustainable systems. And three, to deliver more on strategy. I will be coming back to this slide at the end, but just wanted to give a little bit of context before jumping straight into everything. And so, the first chat box question that I have for everyone is, what trade-off decisions arise in organization design? So, I've gone ahead and listed a few ideas here. However, I'd be really curious to know what trade-offs you encounter in your work most often, which ones you feel are most relevant in present day, or even just whatever you're personally most interested in. And in the examples here, I've listed some that jump straight to structure. For example, do we want there to be centralization versus decentralization, or do we want to implement cross-functional teams? However, I've also included a couple that are a bit more conceptual in nature, and then later on down the road, eventually lead to structural changes. For example, what is the mission of the organization? Is it to deliver on social impact? Is it to make a profit? Is it both? When designing an organization, do we want to consider things like environmental social governance or artificial intelligence? And then in this presentation, I'll be focusing a lot on flow of value through the operating model and really the process of creating a framework where it's possible to compare profitability outcomes of various design choices. However, before applying that financial layer, I wanted to start here just to take a moment to consider the decisions that we would be applying financial metrics to. And so I'll give everybody a moment to think. And in the meantime, as a little bit of background for how this topic came to be, I was chatting with Jardina a few months ago about economics and org design and how the two potentially come together. And I'd reached out to her specifically because I noticed something on her website that had mentioned org transformation efforts leading to tangible financial benefit. And then she had also mentioned something about having a clear understanding of the cost and benefit of each roadmap item. And I thought that was super interesting. And so, Jardina, I was wondering if you would mind quickly sharing just some of your thoughts on this topic, specifically when speaking to clients. Is there a desire from their perspective to have a knowledge of these financial outcomes, or are they mainly just looking at things at operational concerns? And so, what do you see in reality?
Yeah, I think that's why I was so interested in this topic and I was excited when we were talking about it. I just think there's a lot of time spent with hand waving around, what we think the right answer is. And of course, every organization is different, right? There's different variables, but I just thought, wouldn't it be fun if we could quantify some of these trade-off decisions instead of just kind of having a, whose opinion is louder, who's the bigger expert kind of conversation. So I do think that is something that's valuable. Some organizations do care about quantifying these decisions and know, so that they can make a decision based on an economic outcome. Some organizations can't get their head around that. So, to be honest, so the more that we can simplify the model and just show the side-by-side mo numbers, I think the more effective it is. But I think it's super fun, and I think this is the year where we put numbers to things. So I'm doing a lot of work in this area. So, yeah, I hope you're all excited as we are.
Thank you, Jardina, for sharing that background. I was looking in the chat and I saw a ton of responses, and so I'll read through them really quick. And then if anybody has anything additional to say, feel free to raise your hand. Jody mentioned short-term performance versus long-term impact. Leslie mentioned quality versus efficiency, discernment versus consensus leadership versus rapid decision-making. Really cool. Sean mentioned innovations versus best-known methods. Dallin mentioned efficiency versus effectiveness. Andrew mentioned the same thing. Brandon said scope versus speed. Jardina said stability and change. Keith mentioned service level versus cost. Nonetheless, but something I come across, especially with design of corporate functions. Andrea said technical specialization and hierarchy. Toko Zile, sorry if I mispronounced your name. Innovation versus hierarchy. Andrew mentioned short versus long term. Matt said encouraging older EE to leave. Plus one on discernment. Mergers and acquisitions, when and where to integrate. Salima says people versus tech. And when evaluating options, the cost value creation opportunity is often a factor in making the strategic choice. I love all these responses. Thank you guys so much. Okay, moving on to the next slide. All right. So now moving on into financial metrics. I do have some more procedural ideas later, but I wanted to dive straight into the big question and ultimately the crux of this conversation, which is how do we quantify financial benefit and risk through the lens of the operating model? I.e., how can the operating model actually drive profit? And it would be wonderful if we could kind of just press a button and automatically align structure to strategy while taking financial sustainability into consideration. But how do we actually get there? And to give a quick, horrible answer, I think it depends. I have a background in IO psychology, and everyone, whenever you ask a question, they're like, well, it depends. But this is where some of my brainstorming ideas come into play, and would love to hear any of your reflections on my rationale. And so I've split the organization into three sections, one being revenue generating roles, such as consultants, two being internal functions, such as HR, and three being products and processes. And then let me just see. Okay. And then Gina Jardina also mentioned risk being a huge factor, especially in the time horizon trade-offs. Moving on. So starting with the first example of revenue generating roles, as I was kind of thinking through all this, an idea that stuck in my head was that it's not just about immediate cost-cutting measures. More so, when you touch an operating model in any way, it does have long-term impacts. And so on profit, like when Prior to working in organization development, I worked in resource management at a consulting firm. And it was really parts of that role that got me thinking a little bit more strategically about finance. And resource management was all about staffing consultants onto projects in a way that was financially viable toward the firm. So, for example, if I were restructuring a consulting firm, I wouldn't look just at the annual salary of a consultant. Here, say the example is $100,000. I would also ask these bigger questions like, what is their list rate? What is their billable rate? Also, what is their utilization or time spent on billable work? And then, what is their realization or how much revenue is actually being collected? And so I can also calculate annual revenue, which here comes out to $270,000. And then if I wanted to go further, I could calculate profit margin and so on. But the point here mainly just being that while the consultant may cost the firm $100,000, they're ultimately generating almost three times that in revenue. And so if I were doing a fake reorg on this consulting firm, and I were thinking about reducing or expanding teams to achieve specific strategic goals, I also want to know the true long-term financial impacts of potential changes. Maybe if I move just a couple of these people, it shifts profit margins by a couple hundred thousand dollars. But what if the organization has 1,000 people or 10,000? And if I were the CEO of that company and I were working with consultants to design a new operating model, a question that I may have is what happens to profit when I hit play on that new model? And so this brings us to our second category, which is internal functions such as HR. And I have another Zoom chat box question here, which is how do we quantify the work of internal functions? So the consultant example was a little bit more straightforward because they're billable. However, if my ultimate goal is to create this framework where I can evaluate the financial trade-offs of different org design models, then I would need a way to quantify the revenue or profit of internal roles as well. Also, in almost any company you see, a lot of roles are not going to be billable. However, there is still a financial and productivity impact of internal roles. The impact, though, it just might not be as direct and clear-cut as that of a fee earner, but it's still very much there. And so the question then becomes, how do we accurately measure that value? Again, I do want to go beyond annual salary. I don't want to know just how much they make in a year, but also the scope and quantity of the work that they are driving. And so, in trying to answer this, an immediate thought that I had in my head was that it is true that internal roles like HR or finance or operations, they don't drive work in the same way that fee-earning roles do. The best metric then to measure an HR role might not be profit. What I really want to know could be productivity. And then, kind of going further down that line of thought from an appreciative inquiry perspective, what data do I have that is relevant? And so, building off of the consulting example from before, let's say that the firm conducted a strategic planning process and one of the goals that came out of the process was to implement a company-wide leadership training program. And in order to develop this program and to carry it out, the HR team will definitely need to expand and hire more people. Currently, let's say that the team is too small, they're overburdened, and I know that we need to hire these additional roles, but I want to hire the right number of people to do the right amount of work, and I want to know how much it's going to cost. And so, as I was thinking this through, I realized that I was really just talking about workforce planning, which definitely already exists. It's not new, which is good. However, what I want to do is take workforce planning just one step further. And so, from doing this workforce planning analysis example that I have here, I want to pull the total payroll and benefit costs for each potential new HR hire, as well as the work that each person will drive. And I want to integrate both of these things into an overall trade-off framework for the entire operating model. Say in this example that the current annual HR operating budget is $1.2 million. And then the overall goal could be, as we said, to implement the leadership training program. And then to determine HR hiring needs and cost, I conduct the following analysis and I ask questions which are in the middle column of the chart here, like how many total hours of work are needed? How many hours can one employee work per year? How many employees are required to meet the demand? And then at the end, what is the total payroll and benefits cost for new hires? And so via these steps, I now know that I will need two more people to accomplish the work to implement the new training program. It'll cost an additional $180,000, and the new total annual cost of HR would be $1.38 million. And then the next step after this would be to start putting these potential items into a trade-off framework. However, before moving on, I did want to check, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on any thoughts you may have about quantifying the work of internal functions and like, are there any different approaches that you would take outside of workforce planning? And I saw Tanya broadcast the question.
Makes it easier when you share the chat at the end of the session to know what people were answering.
Yeah, I'll definitely save the chat just before we end this, just because I think there might be some really useful stuff in it. If there are not chat box questions at this time, it is totally fine because I have many more, but
They're
I
coming
do
in,
see
Marissa.
a couple answers. Andrea says risk avoidance, wrongful terminations minimize, suspension time. Andrew said risk avoidance might also be a factor here. Example, without HR or legal expertise, what is money exposure to the firm? I think it will be very dependent on the industry context and strategy choice, of course. Yep. Brandon says, what's the cost of not doing something? Craig says, this is good for quantifying the cost, but not seeing where we quantify the benefits. It's coming later. Brandon says, like not having TA. And then Andrea says, offset of consulting spend by managing internally. Okay. I will move on to the next slide for now, but feel free to continue sharing your thoughts. Okay. So at this point, I have enough data to start putting together a trade-off framework. And in the first column, I have each potential goal and strategy. And then I've added a strategy for the first row, which is to deliver more consulting work in the healthcare sector. And then the second column is the proposed operating model change to accomplish each goal or strategy. And then going off of the initial revenue generating role example in the third column, which is cost, if the annual salary of one consultant is $100,000, then you can see that hiring three additional consultants would cost $300,000. Then in the fourth column, which is benefit, we had discussed that the annual revenue generated per consultant would be $270,000 per year. So multiplied by three, that comes to a total annual revenue of $810,000. And then the final column, which is kind of the new part, is net financial impact. And here I've just taken the total cost and benefits from each strategy. So $300,000 cost, $810,000 benefit for the first strategy. And then for the second strategy, which is to design and implement the leadership training program, the total cost, as we know, is $180,000 per year. And we know that that's never going to bring in revenue, but that wasn't the point. It does accomplish our strategy. And so in the final column, we have that total cost, which is $180,000. And so then in the table below that at the bottom, I've just consolidated everything. So say that the company has seen the metrics for each proposed operating model change, but they want to know what the total cost is going to be when you add everything all together. And so if I were to decide to implement both of these strategies here, in total, the upfront cost would be $480,000. This would generate $810,000 in revenue after 1 year. And then the net revenue after 1 year would be $330,000. And so creating this kind of trade-off framework does bring up a lot of questions. And the chat box question I have for you is it helpful to incorporate metrics from the beginning to serve as guidelines and guardrails that inform the org design process? And what I mean by this is, do we need to have this step at the beginning? Sometimes people will argue that metrics only come along at the end, but my question for you is similar to starting with strategy, do we also need to start with metrics? And I'd also be curious to know your overall thoughts on creating a trade-off framework like this and any challenges that you might foresee coming along with it. I'll give everybody a moment to kind of think about that. I see some responses are coming in the chat box a little bit. Keith said something. And then in the meantime, I'll tell you a quick story. As I was doing this presentation, it brought me back to high school a little bit. And as a fun fact, I was a little bit rebellious in high school. And my senior year, I decided to drop many of my AP classes. And that decision like came back and bit me multiple times. But I was like dead set on learning Latin, which is a dead language, but I needed the space in my schedule. And so instead of calculus, I ended up taking accounting. And so this reminded me a little bit of accounting. Keith had mentioned comparison to KPIs being achieved under the previous model, i.e., improvement. And he said, right, that's good, but also complicated because you can get into a tie situation where both choices move different needles, but it's certainly a good economic indicator. Salima says, yes, always have metrics identified up front because they can help align on success criteria and expectations. Leslie says, challenge may be oversimplification of forecasting. I think it gets really complicated with forecasting. Kazile says, depends on what informs the metric. If they are aligned to the strategy and effectiveness, it's a yes. It cannot be arbitrary. Andrew says, I agree. Having metrics defined upfront is super helpful. My concern, however, is that putting metrics around specific aspects of the operating model may not be fully realizable. Yeah. Sean says, yes, when deciding options, the ROI of each is needed to make the best decision for future benefit. So having the right metrics and data is required. And then Jordina says, I think the decision between whether we are measuring operational slash ROI metrics or risk is key upfront or both. Thank you guys for sharing your thoughts. I love hearing them. Andrea says, often the benefits take significant time to realize. Yeah, time is a big factor. Okay. Next slide. Okay, so moving on to part three, which is products and processes. Oh, wait. Okay, this is the right side. I wanted to take a moment to acknowledge the fact that org design isn't always about adding or subtracting headcount and quantifying that. It can be about changing role responsibilities, changing ways of work, changing how teams collaborate with one another, and then the work streams that follow that. And then it can also refer to product development or implementing new processes. Say I were looking at a massive shift in the operating model, something like moving from centralization to decentralization. In the prior two examples, I zoomed really far into the individual level just to truly see and understand the financial implications of shifting roles on like a micro level. However, if I were to zoom out and see the whole system, it would really just be kind of the same thing in regard to metrics. It would be taking the time to figure out what metrics are relevant to each tiny operating model change and then adding that all up. And then I think a lot of the challenge here, though, is related to the fact that organizations and org design changes are incredibly bespoke. And so this then means that it would be a bespoke approach as well when it comes to determining what people and what financial data are even relevant to pull. And then I'll circle back to the data piece in a bit, but first, I wanted to wrap up the trade-off framework and show one more example. So, In the third row, I've added one more goal slash strategy, which is to improve research on current market trends. And to do this, I will implement a new AI system across the research and business development teams, and say the full cost of the system is $5 million. The benefit here would be that better knowledge of market trends leads to more work won. And then the estimated projection is additional revenue of $1 million a year. And so, again, the final column includes the cost and benefit. However, let's say that the consulting firm sees this trade-off framework and decides that they don't want to do the first goal at all. They're not going to hire three additional consultants or deliver more consulting work in the healthcare sector. They're only going to do the last two goals. And so, how does this impact the financial model? And so, I noticed Mary said something in the chat. I like the framework for planning, but wonder how this could be used to assess through implementation of change. Like, is there a way to identify and track unexpected costs, benefits that popped up throughout implementation? That's super interesting. And I think it's where kind of the complexity comes together and how they all interact. Okay. Next slide. And so here at the top, I have the old financial model, final model. And then at the bottom, I made a new table for the new final model, which has the two goals that we decided on, as well as all of the cost and benefit data consolidated. And so this would allow the client to look at different frameworks and also see the financial implications. And this would also be a good time to assess risk. Certain options, such as the AI system, for example, might be more risky than others. At the company, I would also be cognizant of value delivery. And so, how does each operating model change impact my company's ability to deliver value, whether that be through innovation, through time to value, and so on? And a note I made in the old model is that since those changes were new hires, the cost and revenue would recur annually. However, in the new model for the AI system, since you're only paying for it once, you have a high upfront cost, but it doesn't recur. And so, as you can see and imagine, things have this potential to get really complicated the deeper you go. In like a heavily matrixed organization with 10,000 employees and multiple changes happening to the operating model at the same time, an obvious question that kind of comes up is, how much time is it going to take to do all of this math? Do I need to pull in some sort of financial expertise? And then the chat box question, which I have for you, is ultimately, is this process worth it? And so I'll give you a little bit of time to like let that all digest, but was wondering kind of your thoughts on if you think it's worth it to kind of go down this avenue. Stuff like that. Bernie says, I'm hopeful that we can get there someday. And can AI help us do that?
That was from Mary,
In response to
comment
Mary.
about tracking it ongoing. We can't even track it up front yet, but ongoing would be amazing.
Maybe someday. Okay. Jody says, maybe interesting to ask, what are the costs of not doing or designing work? Yeah. That's a good one. We move on for now. Feel free to jump in. Okay. So, oh wait, Toko Zila says cost benefit is part of org design or needs to employ appropriate tech to deal with a large org structure. Yeah. Okay. So now moving on to data and process. A note I'll make here is that although the title of the presentation is Economics of Design, I think what I'm really talking about is probably more along the lines of a combination between org design and financial restructuring, but Economics of Design just sounded really good. And so my next question is about methodology or process for approaching an Economics of Design project. And the purpose of org design here is really to structure the company's role and processes to align with strategy, Meanwhile, the definition of financial restructuring is more to adjust the financial structure of a company to improve stability and profitability. And a question I had, though, is if I were to truly integrate org design and finance, what would that framework look like? A lot of what I'm getting at now is like order of operations, what comes first. In org design, for example, the STAR model is often used. In some of my work in org development and strategic planning, a framework that I've used often is the 4 Ds of appreciative inquiry. And so, in this presentation, a super quick summary would be strategy development coming first, and then the operating model and cost benefit analysis probably happening in conjunction, and then the trade-off framework at the end. However, I would be curious to see how financial analysis could be maybe integrated into something like the STAR model so you don't lose parts of that methodology. And then I also did want to come back to the data piece. And so, two questions that I still have are, should we only pull financial data that is in alignment to specific strategies and goals? Or would it be also helpful to have knowledge of basic overarching data for the entire organization as well? I think sometimes it can be kind of tempting to pull every metric that we can get our hands on, but in the efforts of simplicity, I think it might make sense to be more directed at the outset. And then another question that eventually comes is who within the organization would we be collaborating with to engage, like to get the data? And so another kind of just thought in my head was that is it possible to do this entire thing via process consulting, especially with any form of financial restructuring? It tends to lean more towards the side of expert consulting. And so I do think, though, that there is the potential for this work to be done in a more facilitative OD sense. And so feel free to drop any of your thoughts about methodology or data in the chat. As a heads up, this is a relatively quick presentation. We just have one more slide after this. So any questions, pop them below. Brandon said, stakeholders are evaluating proposed changes using the lenses, so it is important that we are able to relate, negotiate, understanding these interests. Mary says, I see potential here, but I worry about missing important impacts and this providing a skewed view of costs and benefits. I know you said that this would likely be bespoke, but I wonder if there are categories to evaluate that allow for consistency or minimize risk of missing something important. Really good. Andrea says, there are other cost considerations to evaluate the business case. Example, a change impact and time investment of stakeholders. Yep. And then Alex says, maybe off kilter from the spirit of the question, but I feel that the typical hierarchical org structures don't people to contribute outside of their defined organizational role. Rather, more people are hired to fill gaps that could be filled with overlap talents of those that are already in the organizational talent pool if there was a participatory framework in sharing information. Very interesting thoughts in the chat. I feel like they could start another conversation. All right. Moving on to the end. All right. So the final slide here is really just coming back to purpose. And again, the three main objectives that guided my thoughts were to be able to see the ROI of the operating model and make financially optimal operating model choices, to build more sustainable systems, and to deliver more on strategy. I do think it is worth noting that the ultimate goals of the organization may not always be solely profit-driven. Maybe the purpose of the reorg is to improve culture, for example. However, having the metrics helps to accomplish these goals in a way that is sustainable. Some government organizations, for example, knowingly operate at a loss. For example, like the postal service, if they're delivering mail to a remote part of Alaska. But they do all this work to deliver necessary services. And so, really, this is just about creating a more informed trade-off framework. And then, a final point I'll make here is just the idea of seeing org design as a lever for profitability. The way that teams and processes are structured within an organization can have financial implications that go beyond just annual salary cost. And so, the big question today being, what do operating model changes do to profit and really why? And so let me see. At this time, just wanted to say thank you all for sticking around till the end and being active participants in my TED Talk. And just wanted to open it up towards any further comments or questions. Would love to hear any thoughts that you may have. I will
There's a
stop
lot
sharing
of
now.
interesting stuff happening in the chat, so I wonder if people want to like expand more on what they put in there.
You said it was interesting. I wonder if you could quantify the trade-off between tightly bounded roles versus fluid roles or something like that. Yeah. I'll definitely take all of the chat box responses and do something with them. I'll
I
consolidate
think some of you
them.
have posed some provocative questions in the chat that maybe we want to double click on. So go ahead and speak up or raise your hand.
Keith says, often org design starts with a financial goal. In that case, the trade-offs are about which options are least worst in achieving that. Perhaps the same as Jordana's point about risk. But yeah, I know that this was a big new topic. And so thank
There are
you.
certainly a lot of different avenues we can take it, right? There's a lot of different ways we can go with this. Like it's a big area of knowledge.
Dallin says, one of the biggest challenges in my eyes are current versus future depiction of model changes and getting to a more accurate calculation that feels less like a finger in the air exercise. Also, data accuracy and consistency across functions, teams, and roles is very difficult to align in a unison way. Not every team is able to accurately capture their time spent in various activities and in the same way, which often leads to an over-reliance on general comp and financial data. Mary says, I see potential. Oh, is a response.
He's responding to me, yeah.
And I see Brandon's got his hand up if you
Oh,
want to open the
Brandon.
floor to have him jump in.
Yeah,
Just an idea.
of course.
This is off the top of my head, but we often use design criteria as a means to, like, this is how we're going to evaluate between good options. And it might be an option for evaluation to say, what is the value of achieving that criteria? Right. So in terms of how do I direct what portion of the project do I want to focus on evaluation? And if I was going to evaluate something, it would be, what would the value be if I actually did achieve that criteria? That could be a good front-end analysis.
Thanks for sharing. I like that idea.
Great idea. Yeah.
Jody says another purpose of measurement is aligning stakeholders around why we are doing this. It can be a first step to agreeing cr design criteria. Yeah. I think a lot of times, kind of the difference between financial restructuring and org design can be that initial strategy part and being the operating model as driving change within the organization. And so interesting to see it come together. But yeah, any final comments that anybody has to share today?
Just to elaborate, oh, sorry.
You got
Just to elaborate on one of the points earlier, we ran into the just awareness of only focusing on value too, of, hey, we can offset, if not like multiply the return by adding extra people. We did that with the product development team. And in the end, we, the business couldn't support the products that they were generating. So we had too many products to be supported by the receiving stakeholders, even though the business case looked viable to add additional heads. In the end, we couldn't even support it with when we considered the business units that it would be implemented for. So on paper, it looked good. And in operations, it didn't work.
I think you raise a really interesting point, and this is where I would always raise as a possible pitfall of maybe having too much of a maybe data-driven approach to making changes. I think Absolutely, the more data that we can have, it might be helpful, but you can easily get stuck. And the analogy I like to use is oftentimes when we're thinking about change, it's maybe less of how do we make horses faster, and actually it's how do we get to an automobile. And if we are just constantly taking a current state assessment on our costs, then we are at risk of just making incremental changes rather than truly transformational changes. And that was kind of part of my point of really a good depiction between your current state model and actually your future state, operating model. I think that's kind of where it often feels like a finger in the air, because it's not just a change in the amount of resources, it actually may be in the change of our overall capabilities, right? That might not even exist today, and we don't actually have a way to calculate that in the most accurate way. So how can we truly tell that right story, there? So often, I've seen both ends of the spectrum of hey, actually having that current state data works really well, and then on the flip side of it actually kind of stops us from thinking outside of the box a little bit, and we just get too stuck into how we're currently measuring things, when in reality the way we're measuring things today might not be the way we need to measure things tomorrow. And that's one of the big risks I see. But if you're able to manage it and at least talk about, I think, some of those potential trade-offs, I think it's still a valuable exercise.
I think a lot of it kind of ties back to what is the direction that you're even trying to go in. And so, like, I did about your strategic planning work recently, and it's interesting because just all of the time and effort that you put into that plan, like sometimes people talk about like the why being 10 times more important than the how, but just having that initial direction first. And then Mary's, yeah. Oh, Andrea, were you gonna say something?
Yeah, I'll just add as well, like there's often a strong desire to do benchmarking and then compare yourselves to others. And I think it's very hard to compare to others. Their roles are different, how they operate is different. But one thing I did read is the idea of internally benchmarking. And I think this is a way of capturing the cost differences of the decentralized model. So when you decentralize, the teams can expand in some areas versus stay small in others. And by looking at it across of how many people does it take to deliver in different units, you can see outliers where there's opportunity for cost savings.
That's great. Thanks for sharing. Like I like the idea of internal benchmarking a lot. I think when you're benchmarking like different organizations, every organization has its own unique strategy. And so I know Marriott said something in the chat. It could be interesting to see how this could be applied to iterative designs or pilot tests to help validate and refine what is measured and how. And then Alex said, I think there's space for some level of fluidity since as people, we have the ability to participate in more than one thing. Curiosity and drive is fluid and can be an extremely powerful driver of participation via self-driven passion. I think the idea of a fluid role would be hard to quantify by traditional metrics, especially at the individual level, but the output of those efforts would be an easy way to see if there was merit in the resulting outcome. Very interesting.
Yeah, but I think that's, sorry, just to jump in, I think that's such a great example. These are all great examples of things we could measure, right? Like we could measure the, because there is overhead involved in not having fluid roles, right? To have everything be super bounded and we have to account for everything. And there's overhead there versus when it's more fluid, there's less overhead, but maybe people are confused. So what's the cost, right? So you could quantify both of those things. And that's the fun of economics of design.
Hey, Marissa, I just discovered an idea that's kind of related. Not actually having data for this, but I did a project here where we did what's called a force field analysis, where we take the business context and the environmental context and see what of those would actually help the cause or restrain the cause, and then have the leaders assign a value to it, and then count up, well, do you have more restraining forces, or we have more sustaining forces? And so it gives them some idea about the environment they're in, that these org changes might actually succeed or not. So it's not really a financial metric, but more of a feedback feasibility study to see if this would actually work. And then from that, well, which one of these would be most cost effective? So it's kind of a preamble into a ROI to just say which one will actually work or may work or which one will get stuck more. So it's another way to think about it.
That's really interesting too. I know, Jardina, you're having a conversation coming up about metrics in organizations. And I think really like the question is it always a financial metric? Is sometimes it's just, is this possible to do? And so interesting as well. Dallin mentioned in the chat, your current operating model is perfectly designed to get your current results. If you want to change your result, looking at your operating model is critical. Yeah. Very cool. All right. Well, thank you all so much for coming today. I think this was really just kind of meant to start the conversation, and I think we did that. And so, looking for nice to see some new faces as well, and looking forward to future conversations. Thank you guys so much. I'll stick around for a couple minutes if anybody has any questions, but yeah, thank you.
I so appreciate you jumping into this topic and like fleshing it out for us because it's such, I hope we talk about numbers all year. This is so wonderful. Thank you for starting it off.
Thank you again for your help with everything. Thank you guys.
All right, folks, we'll stay around here for a moment or two if anybody has any specific questions for Marissa or specific questions for me as part of what's going on with the events within ODF, whether it be our virtual offerings or our upcoming conference. I'm happy to stay on the line here for a moment or two and answer any questions.